you know, I feel a little guilty or a little bad in my heart that I've been telling you about transformational prayer, and that is a hard word. And I don't like big words. I never like preachers that preached over my head. You know, it don't take much to preach over my head. But remember that it means transformational, means it just changes your life. It changes your life when you pray like this. Now, I talked about seeking the Lord's face. That doesn't mean that you're going to come into an experience and you're going to get up and see the Lord's face right there. But what it does mean, and some people saw, you know, apparitions of our Lord during the times that they had these encounters, which we will go about a little bit later in a couple of weeks. Next Sunday, by the way, Matt is preaching Pentecost because he will not be here the last of the month. And then I'll return preaching on prayer and more about these face-to-face experiences and how we can have this close, intimate relationship with the Lord. But what it does mean is that you feel the presence of the Lord. He is so close to you. You are feeling like you are in the throne room. You are in the Holy of Holies. And you feel that presence. I told you last Sunday, I believe with all my heart, when he called me into the ministry, I felt the hem of his garment that went over my shoe. I believe that with all my heart. Now, you don't have to believe that. You might think I'm crazy, and a lot of you are right. But I felt that. I really felt that. And so that's what we're going to continue to preach on. But I want to make this a little simpler, a little simpler. And how I want to do that is say, when I talk about transformational praying, I'm talking about one-on-one with Christ. Does that make it a little bit easier? You are one-on-one with Christ. How many of you people play one-on-one basketball sometimes? You know what I'm talking about. Well, you are one-on-one with Christ. And when you're doing that, there are no distractions. No distractions. If you get down on your knees or sit in your favorite chair or fall down prostrate on your feet, whatever you do, it means you get down. If you have to wait for a few minutes, wait for a few minutes. But believe me, you get all the distractions out of your mind because you are in the throne room of God. And when you're there praying in the name of Jesus Christ, you don't want distractions. You want to be right so close to him that, you know, there's nothing to hinder you from bearing your soul to him. Now, here's the other thing that transformational preaching is that a lot of us perhaps don't understand about. It's a little hard. We think of prayer as our voice and God's ear. Is that right? We come to him with our request and his ear to listen. That's what we pray. We bring a long list of prayer requests. And there's nothing wrong with praying for people. I'm not saying do away with intercessory prayer. But I'm saying that so often we go with our agenda that we don't leave times to go for his agenda. So when we talk about this transformational prayer, let's think about it in a completely different sense. It is his voice and our ear. We're allowing time for him to speak to us, to tell us what he wants us to do, his purposes. Now, believe me, we don't pray enough like that. We pray what we want. You know, as I think we think of Christ as a big Santa Claus in the sky, but we never ask him what does he want for our lives. And I'm going to give you two ways, very easy, to set up for doing this, and I think you'll see this as creating the atmosphere for this face-to-face transformational experience I'm talking about. And Matt gave you the first hint this morning. Matt said, abide in me, abide in my word. What does the word abide mean? Stick with it. Stick to it. Hang in there. Keep on doing it. When you pray, my friends, do you ever pray with your Bible open? Do you ever pray and before you pray, you read one of the Psalms or a passage of Scripture before you pray? That helps so much set up an atmosphere for prayer. I encourage you, Psalms. I think the Psalms cover every kind of mood you can have. Good mood, bad mood, you know, whatever. That's what happens when you go into the Psalms. And you go there and set up an atmosphere for prayer time with the Lord. And how does God speak to us? He speaks to us through His Word. There may be something in that Psalm that He's wanting you to know about. Read Psalm 1, which is about the blessed man, the good man. Maybe we're a man and there's somewhere in that psalm we're not living like we should. And maybe God wants us to see that and emphasizes that to us. But we set up the atmosphere for this prayer where we're in the presence of God and we know it and it changes our lives. So we start with His Word. Abide in His Word. We keep His Word open when we pray. I'm sorry to tell you this morning that I don't do that all the time. And I feel bad about it. I told Matt the other day that this series on prayer is speaking to me, hopefully as much as it's speaking to you. Because I know so many times I go to prayer and I'm worried about Sunday service or what I'm going to say at such and such a time. And that's really not a good way to pray because you're not focusing on what you're praying on. So it should be a good hint for all of us to open up our Bibles to wherever we go to in the Psalms and read that Psalms and just spend time clearing our mind. I like to think of this as be still and know that I am God. We get all the distractions out of our minds. So that's one thing. Pray with God's Word. Pray with it open. Pray after you've read it and see the experience you might have in your one-on-one time with Him. Secondly, let's call the word focus. Yesterday, we got two old big groundhogs in our yard. How many of you like groundhogs? I don't think nobody's going to. I hate them things. They're not good to eat either. But we had two big ones, and I have to be careful how I shoot. Harold Madden will vouch to you that I'm very dangerous shooting. I've knocked three brick out of the house already. But they were trying to get under the house. But anyway, I didn't have a good aim, and I missed them. Now, I've got to be very careful because there's cows behind us, and if I shoot a cow, I'm gonna be on that slammer newspaper, you know, and I'll have that big number of cows. I'm the one that shot the cow, you know. But it's how we aim, how we focus. We get a good focus. We get a good aim. And what are we focusing on and aiming on in our prayer life with Jesus for it to be sensational and transformational and life-changing? We aim to focus on Jesus. On Jesus. He is the, you know, expressness of God. He is God's Son. He came to show us who God is and what God is like. And we need to focus on Jesus. Our aim, our focus should be on Him. And when we focus and just put our mind on Him, His life, His death, His resurrection, His intercession, then we are focusing more in a prayerful mood and opening up our ears and our hearts more to hear what God wants us to know, to hear what Jesus wants to teach us. Now, as Matt has been stressing in all that he's doing about discipleship, this is what I'm trying to do in this praying. I'm wanting us to pray like disciples. So let's get our focus right. Let's aim for Christ. Let's think of Christ. Let us just let our mind be saturated with thoughts of Him. One of the favorite ministers that I have is John Piper. I think he is absolutely great. And one of his things that he says about praying is that it's all right to pray for people. It's all right to pray for sickness. It's all right to pray for this or that. But he said that should be secondary to praying for, let us have a deeper relationship with God. Let us walk closer with God. Let us learn more about God. Let us know more about what God wants us to do. That should be first and foremost for the disciple. And then secondly, these other things come into being. And they're all important. But let's get our priorities right. And our priorities is to have this close relationship, this special relationship with the Lord, that we love Him so much that we want to be like Him and do what He wants us to do and please Him and lift Him up and give Him the glory and praise and honor. You might also say that, well, Dave, aren't you talking about worship? Yes, that's yet another name for this. Transformational praying, face-to-face praying, and it's also called worship-based prayer. We are worshiping Him. And I wonder how many of us really worship Him when we pray. You know, it's so often, oh God, help me pass that test today. It's going to be a rough one. Or, oh God, I sure hope they got something good to eat tonight because, you know, I went there last night and it was awful. Or, oh God, my buddy's sick. Please help him get better. Or, oh God, I need that promotion at work. Or, oh God, you know that new car? Oh man, Lord, all that red on it is so pretty, Wolfpack red. And it's got, you know, it'll fly, that car will fly. And you know, you can go down the street and mash accelerate and it'll put you back to see, God, that's what I want. How about arranging for me to have that? Now I have tried those prayers. I prayed for a Corvette when I was 16 years old. God answered my prayer, not the way I wanted Him to. I got a Volkswagen when I was 16 years old. And for some reason, they don't sound like a Corvette at all. And I couldn't even, sorry to say, bicycles went past me when I left school. But you know, God answered the prayer in a way that would save me money on gas. And today, you'd probably really appreciate a Volkswagen. But, you know, you pray sometimes and we don't get the answers and we don't think that we didn't put enough time and effort into the praying that we should have. And pray for His will to be done in our life and listen to Him and say, God, what do You want for my life? And He will bless you in some way. And also, when you focus on Jesus and when you read the Bible as you pray, it's going to teach you to do some things. First of all, it's going to teach you to appreciate how He does answer your prayer. You know, right now, I'm grateful I didn't get a Corvette. I'd have probably had a wreck. And gas was so high then, 38 cents a gallon. I don't know if I could afford it that or not. I can't help but tell you, I have prayed for gas to come down a little bit, but, you know, that's a little slow in working. But, you know, I prayed for a job in radio. I wanted to be a radio announcer so bad. And I worked 2 years for nothing. You know, that you have to learn how to do it. And so from 12 to 14, I worked. And these other guys would go out courting and all. Nobody knew I was working but me. I didn't tell on them. I wanted to learn how to do it. And when 14 years old came, and do you still get a workers permit now at 14? You did when I was growing up. You got a workers, that's the only way you could get paid. And I got a workers permit and I started getting paid. Now that was big stuff. So God answered my prayer, but I didn't get paid for it for 2 years, but I learned a lot in those 2 years. So, you know, it may be slow. It may not be the answer you wanted. It might be completely different, but believe me, it's what God wants you to have and what God wants you to be happy with. And when you have His Bible open and when you focus on Christ, you learn to appreciate what you have. Now, I'm here to tell you today, and I don't mean it ugly. I love all of you. But I don't think many of us appreciate our health like we should. And I don't think we thank God for it like we should. You know, I thought that I knew what it was for somebody to have cancer. But when I was told I have it, no, I didn't know what they were going through. I really didn't. And so after you hear that word, I will be completely honest with you. I'm trying to be upbeat and happy, and did not get the report this week I wanted, but you know, that's all right. I've told you this, God's going to be in charge of this, and that's what I want. But you know, you take it and you trust Him, and He will care for you. And you know what I thought about? For 64 years, I did not have cancer. And you know how many times I thank God for my health in those 64 years? Not near as much as I should have. That's why it means so much to be in His Word, to focus on Jesus, to appreciate what He does for us, to be close to Him and be able to tell Him these things. And when you do have it, trust Him. Trust Him. I'm no better than anyone else. And you know, you open that Bible up and you know who suffered the most? The people the closest to Jesus suffered the most. So why should we, you know, ask to avoid those things? You know, they suffered and they drew closer to Him day by day. So you take suffering in light of that and you're grateful for what the Lord does for you. But this is what I'm talking about in this closeness transformational praying. Open up your Bibles, trust in Him, focus on Him, get your mind off all that junk that's going on, because He is the one that loves you so much. Yes, He is the one that came in a cradle, but one day He's coming back as King. He's the one who was crucified and there was a crown of thorns on His head, but one day He's coming back and that won't be a crown of thorns on His head. It will be a crown that crowns Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day He came and lived on earth and died for our sins. Oh, and He suffered. He was just like us. He suffered. Nails driven in His hands and feet. He was human. He suffered, although He was sinless. But He loved you so much. But you know, that's not going to happen. He will never be crucified again. When He comes back, He's coming back for those people that love Him and care for Him and call Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as our Lord, as our King. And we will know Him as He is. This is who we worship. And today I just want to stress to you that before you can get involved into this kind of praying, before your life can really change, you first must be a Christian. And I think a lot of things are happening right now that, you know, I don't completely understand. I don't know. In some ways, I think it's God speaking to us. And you know, I'm not God, but Massachusetts had tornadoes. They hardly ever have tornadoes. Look at the number of people that were killed there, or the people that are being killed all over this America by these weird storms. Now, is this God speaking to us? In one sense, I think we can say yes. He's maybe trying to get our attention to say, you know what? This is a transient world we live in, and your death could come at any time, even by a tornado. Or it come to an 8-year-old child this week. Or we read the story of this the trial that's going on. That precious little child was murdered. And all this breaks my heart, my friends. Or we read of school killings. Or we read of people going into work mad at somebody and they'll shoot all the people around. This is the world we live in. And this is a world that needs revival, and it's not coming because God's people aren't serious about revival. God's people are satisfied to come and sit on the pew for an hour and get home and eat and forget about everything till next Sunday. We ain't going to have no revival like that because we're not praying for it. We live in a world where your life could be called at any moment. I've been blessed for 64 years. I'm grateful. That's a good life. I've preached people up in 100 years old or older. That was a great life. But we're not promised tomorrow. And I'm asking you this morning, I'm urging you to please trust Christ Jesus as your Savior. People have sat in church for years, went every Sunday, but never trusted the Lord. They come to church. They go through the motions and they leave. But let me tell you something. You can walk in this church and go through all the motions, and you can walk out that door and step right into hell if your life is required of you, because you didn't trust Jesus. It is so easy to do. But I'm not saying it didn't cost him anything. It cost God his son, his life. But he is willing to step into your heart and into your life and become your Lord and Savior. And whether you recognize it or not, you need him. You need him. And once you ask him into your heart and life, I'm not trying to scare you saying these things. No sense in being scared. If Jesus is in your heart, you ain't got nothing to be scared of. But I will say this, if Jesus Christ is not in your heart, I'd sure give some serious thinking, because what could happen to you is scary. Now, I'm not going to soften that. Without Christ, it is scary. With Christ, you have him as your Lord and Savior and protector, rescuer from hell, life in heaven forever, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, none of that. And my friends, that's the kind of world I'm looking for. And you can have it when you trust Christ as your Savior. All right, we're not going to sing an invitation hymn. You know, sometimes I do it differently. And you might like it and you might not. But this is what Jesus put on my heart. And if you don't like it, argue with him about it. This is a beautiful invitation hymn. It is sung by one of my favorite singers, Daniel Cruz. He is the resident and artist at Charles Stanley's Church, at First Baptist in Atlanta. He has the voice of the 21st century. He has the most beautiful voice I have ever heard. This is a beautiful song, and it's a perfect invitation. And as he sings this song today, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, don't deny him. Don't deny him. You may never have the opportunity again. Right now, he might be knocking on the door of your heart. Now, he's not going to jump in. He's not going to be caught for breaking and entering. He's only going to come in at your invitation. Why don't you ask him in to be your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've been coming to church with us here, and you belong to another church, and you'd like to transfer your membership here. We'll be glad to take care of that for you. I ask three questions for people who want Jesus in their life or to transfer their membership here. They're very easy, but they're very important. Do you trust Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that the Bible is God's holy word? And will you strive to live for him every day? I think that's very fair, if you want to be a Christian, to have those questions asked to you. And if you feel sure of those things and you answer in the affirmative, we turn it over to the church, and I know that it's going to work, that you will become a member of this church. But more importantly, you will become a member of Christ Church. As I used to tell our young people, teaching them the pastor's class, that's the big letter C. That's the church all over the world. You become a member of Christ Church. You are his child. He is your Abba, Papa in heaven, and will be that way forever because he loves you that much. So the invitation will be played and the altar is open. Let us close our eyes and be in a prayerful state as we have our invitation.